The most trusted and connected man in Utah.
Former governor of Florida, Jeb Bush.
Doug Wright.
We win when our message is hopeful and optimistic, when we apply conservative principles to help everybody rise up, not just those that have already made it.
The Doug Wright Show on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Last night I had just a great opportunity. You know, over the years, one of the great things, one of the things that I have appreciated so much about what I do for a living, the people that I've had a chance to meet and to interview in many cases. I think back when it comes to civil rights issues, years ago, Reverend Abernathy has been gone now for some time. But Ralph Abernathy, I'll never forget when I had the opportunity to interview him. I mean, here is a person, if you have seen the movie Selma and so on, Ralph Abernathy is right there with Dr. King, along with so many others. And to have the chance to interview him when he wrote a book called And the Walls Come Tumbling Down, it was just an amazing experience. I've had the opportunity to interview Reverend Jesse Jackson in person back at one of the Democratic National Conventions. This one was in Charlotte. And last night, I just had an amazing experience, along with so many others. It was over at the Leonardo, and there was a reception for John Lewis. He is just an iconic figure when it comes to the civil rights movement, someone who has served in the United States Congress for a long, long time, someone who has just been a stalwart in not only expanding rights for black people in our country, but expanding rights for everyone. And to be there at the Leonardo with so many great people last night, just people who, like me, are, even though there are things on kind of day-to-day political things that Congressman Lewis and I might disagree on, that does not in any way, shape, or form diminish in any way just the amazing things that he and so many others have done to expand civil rights and human rights for people in our country and around the world. And we had the chance last night to listen to him speak for just a few moments. It was more of just a reception. And we also had the chance to hear from the younger authors of a graphic novel that is designed to talk about the civil rights movement and the time period. There are now two of those. This is supposed to be, as they described it, a trilogy of hope. And the second book is just out, and that's part of the celebration. But last night we heard John Lewis talk to the group, and he was obviously just very comfortable and was enjoying being with the crowd. And he acknowledged our former Congressman Jim Matheson, who was over there, former Congresswoman Karen Shepherd, who was there. And it was really quite an evening. He told a few personal experiences about himself trying to get a library card back many, many years ago, but that library was only there for white people. And he told other stories that were very, very telling and very, very interesting. And I thought it was interesting after he had talked about some of the trials, he had talked about some of the things that he and so many others went through. He said, "I never gave up, I never gave in, and I never lost hope." And I was very, very touched. We have one of the individuals who worked so hard on the book that we are going to be talking about, that we have already mentioned. And, of course, it's a graphic novel. It's called March. And I'm very pleased to have Nate Powell joining us. And he is an Eisner Award-winning graphic novelist and the artist for this movie. And, Nate, I'm very, very pleased that you could join us this morning here at KSL. Welcome.
Oh, glad to be here.
I was intrigued with your comments last night. We heard from the congressman, and then we heard from you, and we also heard from the person that co-wrote the book, Andrew Iden, is it?
Iden,
right. And you said some very interesting things about the appreciation of your word, comics, and how graphic novels are really coming into their time and age, even though we may have lagged behind other parts of the world. I was intrigued by that.
Certainly. Well, within the medium itself, you know, graphic novels have sort of established themselves since the mid-80s or so, but I feel like, you know, books like Mouse in particular, but also, you know, 10 to 15 years ago, Persepolis and Blankets and Fun Home, these are essential books that have allowed graphic novels to sort of set much, much deeper roots alongside other works of literature and history and memoir. And it's a slow process, and, you know, within the medium, it's something that's sort of beyond question, but that's also a part of the process of creating and pushing and growing, is kind of participating in making the case for the medium itself.
It was interesting that you talked about the fact that gatekeepers taking risks on this, the fact that a graphic novel now is able to be in the libraries, and those who make those decisions, the gatekeepers, as you put it, have opened those gates, and what a difference that's made, especially for some of the younger readers.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, I've seen, even before March, Book One hit the stands, there was, you know, a massive shift was underway in terms of the amount of resources that librarians and teachers were, you know, able to take advantage of in order, you know, to get graphic novels as a part of their curriculum or their collection. And we're just proud that March has been a part of that. I mean, certainly was much more of an uphill battle, you know, before 5 or 7 years ago. But yeah, a massive shift is certainly underway.
I had a chance to peek at the books, and I've got to get them for my library shelves, and I really appreciate it. And I'm acquiring a taste, honestly. I'm a little older, certainly, than you. And I have to admit, it's a little bit of a journey for me to recognize what graphic novels not only are, but the power of graphic novels. And so I greatly appreciated your comments, and I greatly appreciate you joining us today. And we do have Congressman Lewis, who is also joining us on the line. And Congressman, last night at the reception, I was deeply honored to have the opportunity to meet you and hear about the books and hear of some of your experiences. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much. We are delighted and very pleased to be with you today.
Last night, you said several things that just so resonated with me. You talked about your experiences. You talked about, you know, how different a world is. We still have a lot of ways to go. But you mentioned that you were told as a young boy, when you were frustrated, that when you'd go home and you'd talk to your family and you would say, "Why is it like this?" And you said, "That's the way it is." That's the answer that you got.
Well, I was told over and over again by my mother, father, and other relatives, that's the way it is. Don't get in trouble. Don't get in the way. But I have been deeply inspired by what Rosa Parks did in Montgomery and the leadership of Martin Luther King Jr. And I met Rosa Parks when I was 17. The next year, I met Martin Luther King Jr., and it changed my life. And as a college student, I started studying the way of peace, the way of love, the way of nonviolence. And I saw the signs saying white and colored. White men, colored men, white women, colored women, white waiting, colored waiting. I didn't like it, and I wanted to do something about it. And Dr. King and the people in Montgomery provided a way for me to do something in a peaceful, nonviolent fashion to help change America.
On our Doug Wright Show Facebook page, I have a picture of myself with you last night. You were kind enough to allow me to kind of get hunched down, and we got a great picture, which I appreciate. And just below it, we have an image of you being arrested by, I can count at least 4 police officers in that picture, and they are pulling you forward. Can you describe what was going on? I'm assuming maybe you can boot that up in your mind, or maybe a situation that was similar to that. What would happen in these cases?
Well, in cases when we would be sitting at a lunch counter stool and we would be taken away and placed in a paddy wagon and carried to jail, but we went in a peaceful, orderly, nonviolent fashion.
Mm-hmm.
We never fought back. We cooperated with the police officers and others. But I remember on my very first arrest, 89 of us students were arrested, and we were so orderly, we were so peaceful, but we were charged with disorderly conduct.
Amazing. When I think of how far we've come, and you addressed that, you talked about we still have a distance to travel, but when you said, "I never gave up, I never gave in, I never lost hope," and I lost track last night how many times you and the co-authors and the illustrator of the book, how many times hope was mentioned.
Well, we, the three of us, we're very hopeful. We believe in the future. And in spite of everything, you have to maintain that sense of hope. And we're trying to get young people to be hopeful, to be optimistic, to never lose faith. And many times when we're signing March, signing these books, I would write, keep the faith, with faith and hope. When you lose that sense of hope, that sense of optimism, it's like giving up. It's like throwing in the towel.
Yeah. I know you have an obligation here in just a few moments speaking to a group, and I can't tell you, Congressman, how much I appreciate you joining us here on KSL today. I'll let you get to your assigned duties here and your speaking engagement. But again, please accept my thanks, our thanks, for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for having us today.
And if I might, I'm hoping I'll be able to go back to another line and be able to talk with yet one of the other individuals, Andrew Iden, who is the co-author of March. And Andrew, do we by any chance have you there?
Yes, sir. How
hey.
You doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And I can't tell you how much I enjoyed the event last night and how much I enjoyed your comments. And I all of a sudden realized, you know, I need to jot down a few things that I am hearing here. And I mentioned a few things when we talked a few moments ago with Nate. But something you said last night, not only about the mentorship that you've had and almost the father-like figure that you've had in Representative John Lewis, but you mentioned he's been your congressman since you were 3 years of age. But you said for so many young people today, their education when it comes to civil rights education, boils down to 10 words. And as you told us what those 10 words were, you know, I thought, you know, he is right. It's amazing how little, as a country, we know about this, and how little young people today know about this. What are the 10 words that basically defines the education people have about civil rights?
Well, we call it the 10-word problem because most young people come out of college or high school knowing 10 words about the civil rights movement: Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King, and I Have a Dream. And it does a disservice to the tremendous sacrifice of so many individuals who put their lives on the line so that we would have basic protections like the right to vote. And when we look at the way things are today in our society, we have to know more about what happened during the civil rights movement because it defines so much about what our government and what our society looks like today.
Your passion for this was obvious. This is going to be a trilogy, as I understand it. When will the third book come out?
Well, we're working on it right now. Nate showed me about 40 pages last night, and we're hoping to have it out this summer.
Where are the books generally available? At bookstores everywhere, and I'm assuming Amazon?
Yeah, everywhere. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your local bookseller, who I always encourage everyone to visit. Also, your comic book store.
Yeah, boy, I appreciate you saying that. Our local booksellers. You know, they're great folks. That's where you can go and you can rub shoulders with other bibliophiles. You can kind of compare notes and kind of bask in other people's reading knowledge. And so I appreciate the plug for our local booksellers. I know them all here in Utah. And honestly, you know, it's been a bit of a struggle for many of them over the years. Give us the title of the book again.
Right now it's March, and book one and book two are out. And book three will be coming out around August of next summer.
It was a great pleasure to meet you guys last night, and I know you, along with the Congressman and Nate, you've got an obligation here in a matter of minutes, and thank you so much for taking time to join us this morning.
Thank you so much for having us.
Hey, will you do me a favor? When book three comes out, will you somehow ask your publicist to get in touch with us, and I'd love to chat again?
Absolutely. I will make sure that happens.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Andrew, thank you. Thanks to Nate, and thanks to Congressman Lewis for joining us, and we're honored to have them here in Salt Lake City today. 10:51 at KSL News Radio.